Well, hey, welcome to True North Church. So excited that you guys are tuning in for our worship gathering today. We're going to be doing something a little bit different today. It's Father's Day, and I've got Greg Schroeder with me, and we're actually just going to be having a little discussion today. We're something we're calling Real Talk. It's actually a little series that we're hoping to maybe do moving forward just now and then, just to break things up, just have more of an organic kind of conversation about some topics that are important in our Christian faith, our Christian walk, and hopefully that is going to be, I hope, encouraging and challenging to everybody who's listening. But in particular this week, we're actually going to be talking about something that's near and dear to both Greg and I's heart, and that's what it looks like and means to be a godly man. You know, first of all, before we even kind of get into any of the meat of this, one thing I want to say is we are not experts on being godly men. We are just like everybody else. We are striving with everything we have to try to be as much like Jesus as we possibly can. But every single day, we're growing and learning. And so we are not the holders of all knowledge on what it means to be the perfect guy, because that guy doesn't exist. Truly, much of what we're going to talk about today comes out of just our own struggles and the challenges that we're facing every day as men. And so I think those are two really important things as you're listening to know. Our hope for this time, honestly, is just to try to, again, encourage you, challenge you guys a little bit, maybe give you some food for thought as you are navigating through your life as a guy. Because I think sometimes it's so easy to kind of get caught up in the rat race of life, and then all of a sudden you're a year or two into a relationship or into a job or whatever, and you've kind of lost sight of what God expects you to be as a man and what he's called you to be as a man. So that's really our hope today, just to kind of bring that to light. And just have some authentic conversation around that. I also, want to let you know, no matter what stage of life you're at as a guy, you might be married, you might have kids, you might be single or in a relationship. I think there's something here for everybody. And I think on that note as well, if you're a lady who's tuning in, please don't check out on us. Yeah. I think there's so much that can be learned here as well on the ladies' side from their point of view and their perspective. Hopefully that might help you as well as you are interacting with guys, and whether it's your spouse or somebody else, a child in your life, whatever it might be. Our hope is that this is going to be helpful for everybody. And so before we dive in, I want to go ahead, just take a moment and pray over our conversation. And then I'm going to turn it over to Greg here in a second, and we'll dive in. I do have to make note, though, of the cactus. I don't know. Is it cacti? It's cactus.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I don't know why we have the cactus, but we really felt like this was a nice centerpiece for our first real talk. So anyway, that's what it is.
Yeah. It fits.
Yeah, it does. All right. Anyhow, let's pray. God, thank you so much for just the opportunity that we have to pause for a moment and take a look at what it means to be a godly man. God, I pray that this time would be just a time where guys would be able to maybe take a heart check, take a look at their own life, look in the mirror for a second and see where maybe they're lining up with what Scripture and with what God says about who they're supposed to be as men, or if they're not, and to make some changes, make the necessary changes that they need to make to be all that God has created them to be. God, I pray just that this message would get out there to as many people as possible, that there would be lives changed through it, God, and we'll give you the glory for whatever you do and however you work in our lives through it. So we love you so much. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do for us, for showing us what it means to be a real man. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Amen. Well, I've been excited about this. Just trying to figure out, where to start this conversation. And it makes good sense to talk about, like, what society has created the role of the man to be. And I came across this video that it was a commercial from Gillette last year, and they only aired it once apparently because it got a lot of responses. And I watched this video, and it talks about you know, it's got all these images and music in the background of men with their children, or some kids are being bullied and the guy steps in and kind of, you know, in front of their kid. There's others that there's a bunch of them lined up in front of grills, you know, that are smoking and everything. And there's a dialogue that goes along with it. And, you know, at the end of it, I was like, oh, it's a pretty good video, you know. But then upon further research, I found the controversy in it, apparently. And what I thought was interesting was, you know, like as of today, 34 million views, 814,000 likes. And that's a lot. Yeah. But then I was surprised to see double that, you know, 1.6 million people wow. dislike that. And so, you know, I did a little bit more research and I saw this conversation where it was a lot of men who were unhappy with just the, you know, the masculinity of men just kind of being erased, they felt like, you know, like, you know, and so it kind of made me think like, well, what is, well, be a man, you know, what does that phrase be a man mean? And I don't know about you, but I'm like, I start thinking about like, well, don't cry, toughen up, you know? I mean, you're a coach. You're like, I mean, what does that mean to you? Like, be a man. What jumps to mind?
Yeah. I mean, there's like this, I think, element of you have to have it all together all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that puts a lot of pressure. I don't know. I guess I can't speak for anybody else, but I feel like it puts a lot of pressure on me that I've got to have it all together all the time. I got to always have my ducks in a row. Don't ever show vulnerability.
Don't fail.
Don't fail. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a big one. Yeah. And I think that there is maybe a, I don't know, maybe a cultural kind of pressure that gets put on guys to be a certain thing, achieve a certain amount of success, look a certain way. And if you don't, well, then you're not really, you're not a real man.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, another theme I saw in this was that whole toxic masculinity. Mm. And I'll admit, I mean, I haven't done a lot of research into that, but you know, that has come up a lot, you know, and last year when this commercial came out, that makes sense, right? You know, with, you know, all the news of, well, it's been more than a year, but, you know, notable people, you know, the complaints are coming out against, you know, politicians and every, you know, about mistreatment and things like that. And that whole toxic masculinity. And in this Gillette video, commercial right at the very end, it's a business meeting. And, a woman at the table had just finished saying something and the man standing up was like, kind of, you know, touching her on the shoulder, like, well, what she meant to say was, and then it moved off to another scene, you know, and so same kind of, you know, thinking along here, like toxic masculinity, what comes to mind to you, you know, like for me, I like overpowering, you know, like asserting, you know, mansplaining, you know what I mean? Like going too far with it. So like, what do you think?
Like almost like lording over or like, being like domineering,
right?
You know? Yeah. And I think that, I think for a long time, like that was kind of what was portrayed, you know, in culture.
Right.
But I do think that there's been somewhat of a shift from that.
Away from it.
Yeah. Hmm. You know, think about just like sitcoms now.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, like, I mean, I think of most of the sitcoms that I watch, the guy is this bumbling idiot, right? And the
everybody
wife,
loves
the wife, right? Like, the wife is so smart and knows everything.
Right.
And the guy is an idiot. He never has it together. He's the one who's always constantly making mistakes.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I don't know. I think there's kind of two almost perceptions. Of
that's
the
a good
guy.
Point.
It's like there's guys that are like, you know, they're over the top macho.
Right.
But then there's also these guys that are like these bumbling idiots. And I don't think either of those is the perspective or the type of man that God portrays as being a godly man.
Well, that's a good point. I think it is. Our thinking seems to be like it's one or the other, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, our culture has had a lot of catching up to do and corrections to make as far as how women are treated.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Oh, big time.
100%.
Yeah.
But I think what is happening, just hearing you say that, is it's like a one or the other. It's an either or. Well, if we're going to give women the respect and the treatment they need, then that must mean that we need to subtract from the man, the role of the man.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It's like this one or the other that's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, do you see that?
Yeah. I mean, I think in an effort to value women the way that they 100% deserve and should be valued,
right,
we've devalued men in a way. Hmm. And I think what you were saying is like, okay, why does it have to be one or the other? Right. Isn't there a way to like value women the way that they're supposed to be valued, but then also value men in the same way?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So I think like a definition of what it means to be a man, you know, looking at the Word of God makes good sense. I really do. I mean, I think that's, you know, a good focus that we should really transition to. You know, recently, in one of our messages, this same verse was shared, but in Genesis 1:27, it fits so perfectly here. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So, you know, just like I said in that series or that message, I can't remember which one it was, but that created in the image is a reflection of, you know, and, you know, just having that realization that men and women are included there. We are both a reflection of God. I know you had some interesting thoughts about
that. Yeah, well, I love how it says that we were both created in his image.
Yeah.
Right? Man and woman are both created in the image of God. God is not a man or a woman.
Yeah.
He is God.
Kind of a mind blower.
Right, I know, right? I mean,
think about
that's a whole other topic for another day, right? But man and woman were created in the image of God.
Right.
Both created in his image, but also different. Created mm-hmm. with a different role to play in the kingdom.
Right?
Right? And I think that verse just, you know, it just screams that.
Mm. And it's, you know, it's interesting to think about just hearing you say that. The character of God in the Old Testament, who we read Jesus was in the New Testament, you can see both of those, right? You know, and so, you know, the compassion of both of them, the, you know, I see you, I hear your prayers, you know, how God changed his mind, you know, and had compassion on the Israelites, and, you know, Jesus being you know, a man of compassion, the woman at the well, but also being upset at the religious leaders, you know, throwing the temples over.
Yeah, flipping the tables.
In the synagogue, you know, and just, you know, all these different characteristics of God, and hearing you say God, he wasn't man or woman, and both were created in his image. Those different pieces are seen, right, in his creation, in his image.
Absolutely.
You know, I know we talked about this in the past, and I've studied it, but the whole part of God, the Godhead being, you know, grace and truth. How do you see that balance of the two? And we're talking about these different, you know, aspects of the personality of God, and then seeing that in the role of a man and a woman, grace and truth.
Well, I mean, just, you know, it's not that we don't want to talk about women today, but I'm just thinking specifically about guys. Is like, who is our model? Right, as a man, who should be our model? And I think culture again wants to put a certain perception of this is the guy you should be. This is the type of man you should be. These are the characteristics that you should have.
Right.
But as a Jesus follower, my model for being a man is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you were getting at there is like, okay, what are the attributes that Jesus Christ himself as a man, as God who became flesh, what did he act like? How did he interact with people?
Right.
And I think that whole idea of he was filled, right?
Mm-hmm.
John says he was filled with grace and truth.
Right.
And so there's this side of Jesus that is so merciful and gracious and loving and kind and patient, right? And nurturing in a lot of ways, right? But then there's also this side of him that's filled with truth, where it's like, no, he's also strong and courageous, was willing to go to the cross to go through the physical pain of that for the good of others. And so, like, to me, those two ideas of like filled with grace and truth, like that's what a man is.
Right.
That's what a real man is.
Right.
Somebody who's filled fully with that grace, but also filled with that strength and that truth at the same time. And it is, I do believe, Jesus modeled it. It's possible to be both of those things. And I think sometimes, for me anyway, again, I can't speak for any other guys, that's a really hard balance.
Right.
Like, it's so hard to be like we want guys to be sensitive. But we also want them to be strong, right? Right. And not strong in like a domineering, lord over people kind of way, but a strong man that stands up for what's right and does what's right.
Right.
You know, so like that's just for me, like that's the kind of man that I want to be, because I think that's the kind of man that Jesus was.
Right. Yeah, and you mentioned John, so that's John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Speaking of Jesus here, we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yeah, full of grace and truth. Yeah.
So let's transition to like marriage and relationships. Take the ball, man.
Okay. So I mean, as guys, right, I think one of the most important things in a guy's life is the relationship they have either with their spouse, or, you know, if you're dating somebody, or maybe someday you want to be in a relationship with somebody. And I think for a lot of guys, this is an area where we really struggle. And I know it's an area where I really struggle. Like when I have it together in other areas, oftentimes that's an area where I continue to just, man, I'm learning and growing and trying to get better at this. And so I really, you know, I feel like it's an area where we kind of need to dig into that a little bit and unpack that for guys, because I think most guys at some point in their life are going to be faced with that. You know, and so I think, you know, just to kind of pinpoint a couple of struggles for me, and I think maybe for some other guys, but like when you first get married and you first kind of get into a relationship coming out of being single, right? For me, there was like this element of like, okay, like I have all these fun things that I really enjoy doing as a guy, and I don't want to give them up. You know, whether it's my hobbies or my sports, or for some guys it's video games or whatever it might be, right? Well, all guys, they're seventh grade boys inside, right? And they have their toys that they love to play with, and they want to have fun. And then all of a sudden there's this like new kind of expectation of like, okay, you got to man up now,
right?
It's time to be a man. And I think I heard this, I'm going to paraphrase it, this quote the other day, but that marriage is, most people go into marriage thinking that the challenge is going to be dealing with the other person's idiosyncrasies and stuff. And the things that they're dealing with are going to be the things that I got to kind of figure out how to work through. And that's going to be the challenge. But really, the real challenge of marriage is dealing with my own selfishness as a man, right? And that just like, when I heard that just hit me right between the eyes, because it is just so convicting, right? Like, you know what? That's 100% accurate.
Oh yeah.
It's my own, like dealing with my own, no, Justin, you don't get to do what you want all the time. There's another person in your life, and we're going to get into this a little bit, and there's an expectation for how you are supposed to honor her and treat her and love her, right? And all of your selfishness is going to get in the way of that.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't know what you...
I experienced that. I'm telling you what, just hearing you say that, and you all can ask my wife, you know, the first, you know, couple months of marriage, that truth became very real to me, you know. I didn't know how to reconcile my expectations and all of me, and just adding everything that my wife is. And it's, you know, it's not that easy. It's not a 1+1. I would joke and say it's a, you know, minus half of you. So the two can be one, become one. But what I meant was, you know, I had to really kind of work through it. Like, wow, I had all these expectations and I had all these assumptions and I wasn't prepared for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what makes me think of that.
Yeah.
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 Big learning curve.
Yeah. I also heard just another, again, just something, I don't remember when I heard it or where I heard it, but the idea that marriage is not, God did not design marriage to make us happy. Mm-hmm. He designed marriage to make us holy, right? And I'm sure you probably heard that before and others have probably heard that, but I think there's so much power and so much truth to that. Like if we think that marriage in itself is going to be the thing that makes us happy, I think we're going to be really disappointed, right?
Sure,
as two guys who've been married for, I mean, how many years have you been married now?
Oh, you know, 26.
26 years, okay. So, and I've been married almost 14, right? And so I'm not an expert by any means, but I have enough experience to know, like, marriage in and of itself is not what's going to make you happy, right? But you and your spouse working together to become more like Jesus, mm-hmm. and having a mission in the world. And that's one thing I was thinking about just this week is like, I think there's a lot of couples who, if they really understood the calling that God placed on them as a couple, because when God brings two people together, when he brings a man and a woman together, right? Scripture says two become one flesh. Mm-hmm. You are now sent. Yes, you have your own personal identity still. It's not like you lose your identity, but right. you become one, mm-hmm. right? And for me, one of the things that I've just been so, felt so blessed by with Autumn is she has made me a better man and helped me to become more like Jesus mm-hmm. because of the way that she challenges me, because of having to be more selfless if I want this relationship right. to work, right? right? Like right. when you're single, you can be a lot more selfish. Mm. But when you get married, you can't be, not if you want the relationship to work.
Right.
You know, so in that sense, it does. Marriage is a holiness work that God is doing in your life. Mm. And you have to see it that way to actually for it to actually have an impact
right.
and do its work. And so again, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
You know, I think of just hearing you say that, like having a shared you know, a shared direction, you know, just knowing that the journey you guys took with adoption.
Yeah.
You know? And that whole journey,
yeah.
you know, and in a similar way, you know, the same thing happened with Carrie and I with adopting Amaris, that it was, you know, I changed so much that whole process because it was a passion and a vision that she had. And I didn't realize that mission was something that I had to not just kind of agree on and sign off on, that I had to fully invest, you know, and come alongside and share that burden with her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, I mean, that's what just jumped to mind
yeah.
there. Like, I wonder how many couples miss out on that. You know, like we've got our individual lives. You know, sometimes we hear that, well, we're roommates, right? And we're doing mm-hmm. our life. We're happy. You know, objectively, things are fine. You know, but do you have, you know, a shared mission like that? You know, like
yeah.
you and Autumn have had. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's just what jumps to mind. That's a good challenge. That's
yeah.
a really good challenge.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, one thing I wanted to, you know, again, just kind of dig into a little bit is just the idea of, okay, as a man, what does it look like to be a godly husband?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you kind of have the overarching picture of what it means to be a godly man, but then,
right.
like, what does that look like? What does Scripture say
mm-hmm.
about what it means to be a godly husband? And I want to read a passage of Scripture from Ephesians 5, starting in verse 21. But really, I can sum this whole thing up by saying, as a godly man in the context of marriage, we are called to be servant leaders,
mm-hmm.
right? And so this is what Paul says. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So there's this mutual submission, right?
It's a hard sell.
It's so hard. It is. And in this day and age, in
right.
this culture that we live in,
mm-hmm.
that's a really hard sell,
right?
Because it's been distorted and messed up. The
right.
idea of submitting is like, well, if you're submitting, then you're just like, you're like this little mouse now that's a slave and
right.
you just have to do whatever they say.
Right.
And that's totally out of context.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. But this is what I want you to hear, because yeah, there's that first part, wives, submit to your husbands,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think, again, in our culture, that's been taken way out of context.
Right.
I mean, women should just be subservient, do whatever men tell them,
mm-hmm.
never challenge them in any way, right? But this is the part that it's almost like it gets left out.
Mm-hmm.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I mean, if you want to have a great marriage, guys, if you want to have a great marriage, literally, if you just took that one verse, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, it would completely change your relationship. Because how did Christ give himself up
yeah,
for the church?
The ultimate sacrifice.
He made the ultimate
yeah.
sacrifice. He literally died for the sake of his bride.
You know,
right?
That
kind of selflessness.
I think a lot of men would probably say, fathers would probably say, I would do that for my kids in a second. You know, the protector. I got to stand in front of them, save their lives, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder how many men, how many husbands,
I don't know,
would jump to that. You know, like, yeah, to have that perspective, what kind of change would that make?
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, I just, for me, that one is so convicting because there are a lot of days, and I'm sure you would admit to this too, there are a lot of days that I don't love my wife like that. That I'm not that selfless, that I'm not giving myself up for her in that dramatic of a way, you know? And on the days when I do, isn't it amazing how much better your relationship is, truly? Yeah. Just a couple of questions maybe to kind of dig into here. What have been some of your, because I think guys want to hear this, like, what have been some of your biggest struggles as a husband?
You know, what comes to mind right away is, showing vulnerability, you know, like it kind of goes against my wiring to want to fully be vulnerable to Carrie, you know, because a lot of my brain is wired to submit to fear. And it's a challenge I talk about all the time. And some of the messages, you know, certainly with family and friends and definitely with Carrie, you know, like fear is always that motivator. And so if I show myself vulnerable, that means I can't handle it. You know, I can't lead, I can't run the show, or I can't take the responsibility that God's given me, you know? And so I think showing vulnerability, and I mean to the nth degree, okay, not just like, oh, I'm having a bad day.
It's not surface.
No. I mean, you know, what kind of challenges are happening today with me? You know, where is Satan attacking me? And looking to my wife as, you're my partner. Let me share, you know, some burdens or some challenges. What's going on in those corners That's of good. My life and my heart? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of.
They want to share. They want to share in that with you.
And you know what?
To be honest, we think it's a burden. Right, like a lot of times guys are like, well, I don't need to put that on them, right?
Yes, exactly.
But they are like, no, I want that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and probably, to be honest, with me at least, I think some of that is because we're fixers.
Yeah.
Well, if I give that to you, then you're going to try to fix it, and you can't fix it. It's my job to fix it. You know, good. At least for me, I wonder if that's what keeps us from being vulnerable. So that's what jumps to mind, is that true nth degree vulnerability. Mm. You know, you are my partner, Carrie. Come with me. In these corners.
Yeah. You know, no, that's good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think for me, you know, I can be such a type A, just like.
No.
Yeah, I know, right? Blinders on. You know, I've got the blinders on. I'm taking care of all the tasks that need to be done. Right. And sometimes, like, I can get so fixated and focused on all the other stuff that needs to be going on. And meanwhile, I'm not giving the attention to Autumn that she needs. And really, not just like, hey, how was your day? But truly, like, wanting to know what's going on in her life. Listening to whatever it is that she's dealing with that day.
Right.
You know, like and she has said it to me many times, you know, and then I still continue to struggle with it at times. Like, I just want to know that you are interested in me, you know? And that breaks my heart when she says that, like it's like a knife goes right into your heart. Like, I don't want that to be the case. I am interested in you, but you have to show it.
So what's her love language?
I mean, I think words of affirmation for sure is huge. She wants to know that she's doing a great job. She wants to know that, you know, she's valued, and it's not enough to just, like, again, a flippant word here and there, but like to really, you know, pour it out, I think is big for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe I think that is important. That Yeah. It's important to know that about your spouse.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And so that Carrie, you can actually pay attention to it.
Exactly. Yeah. You made me think of that, because with Carrie, it's physical touch.
Yeah.
And so I screw up on that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go, for the same reason that you just mentioned, I'll go and not, you know, give a hug, you know, or notice her, you know, the way that she wants to be. And so you're exactly right.
And the longer you're married, the easier it is to just slip into habits.
Yeah.
And then one day turns into a week, and a week is a month, and a month is 2 months, and you haven't done that thing that you know you should do. And then it's like,
Do you really get that long before you get
notified? Now it's that's a riff. You know, well, yeah. Usually you, get you don't get that far. Yeah, you do get notified. You're right. Yeah.
I must be doing something wrong. Oh, I know what it is. Yeah.
So anyway, why don't we jump to just like the idea of fatherhood? Because it's Father's Day. And I think this is a big one. I know there's a lot of guys who might not have kids yet, but I know there's a lot of guys who want to. And there's just some of the stuff that we're going to talk about. I know I wish I would have been thinking about this stuff beforehand.
Yeah.